to the next episode of Dot Game. For this episode, I'm joined by Gersh and Molly, who are from the Mixer/Xbox Live team. I'm actually not sure the right structure for that. Is Mixer? Xbox
so
Live?
I am on the Xbox Live team. I'm a dev, but I work on Mixer.
Okay.
Cool. And I'm on the Mixer team, and I, no surprise, work on Mixer.
Oh, shocker. So in this episode, we're going to look at some of the Mixer interactivity stuff. And before we jump into kind of code and getting started, I figured Molly could tell us a little bit about what Mixer is.
Yeah, absolutely. So for those of you who don't know what Mixer is, it is our low latency streaming service. So if you guys are familiar with Twitch or YouTube or Facebook Live or any of those kinds of things, it's similar. So gaming is our main audience, but we also have artists. There is a 24/7 puppy channel. There's a Siberian Huskies that they've got a live webcam on. It's fantastic.
Actually, watch that. It is super cute.
It's super adorable. And yeah, so one of the things that's really cool about Mixer is it's got super low latency, sub-second latency, and that sort of lights up some pretty cool experiences that you can do with the platform. So
nice. So today we're looking at the interactivity component of it.
Yes.
And what is that?
Yes. Okay, so like I said, because it's got the super low latency, we can actually support sort of truly interactive experiences with the audience, between the audience and the streamer. So just from a baseline perspective, being able to have almost real-time chat with the audience is really, really nice. But we've sort of taken it a step further, and Gersh and I have both worked on, and a bunch of other people on the Mixer team who have done fantastic work, worked on this interactivity platform where you can sort of display some controls underneath the stream that the viewers can see and interact with, and those control events get sent down to the streamer's game or whatever they're using. There's some tools for streamers, their integrations into actual games, and yeah, so it's pretty fun. You can kind of play along with the streamer as an audience member.
Awesome. So I actually had the opportunity to start playing around with the interactivity. I was kind of on vacation. I was, you know, normal me. I want to make a game. So I started to play around with it, and I figured I'd start streaming the game development. And I had it going. I had the stream going. I had somebody, a buddy of mine, joined in, and I went to get the settings going, and I hear this echo coming back through my microphone. And I'm like, every time I talk, it was right away. I'm like, what is wrong? So I went for about, I'm kind of embarrassed to admit this, but it was about 30 minutes of troubleshooting. I pulled in my spouse. I'm like, what is going on? I can't figure this out. It was the low latency. I'd forgotten to mute my stream, and it was coming back so quickly that I thought that it was my microphone picking up, but it was completely that. So it's really awesome.
Cool.
But, you know,
cool to hear
beware.
That mistake being made. Nice.
Okay, so jumping into the interactivity. So, Gersh, you're going to walk us through kind of a demo of how to get started, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to hand it off to you.
All right, yeah. So thanks so much, Stacey, and I'm glad that we got the opportunity to walk you through a demo of kind of how to get started. Again, like Molly mentioned, there was a lot of people who worked on this for a while, and we're incredibly excited. We've been overwhelmed personally with the response from the community, folks like yourself, 3D Crusader, and a whole bunch of other people who've been doing some awesome job streaming their own development, and it's fantastic to watch. So let's jump right in. So the first thing to note is you can go to github.com/mixer/interactive/unity-plugin. So this is where you want to go get the plugin. And you'll start on the code tab. You actually want to go over here to the releases tab. And then you'll pick up the latest one. So we're going to download mixer.unity package. And that's a Unity plugin. We're going to go over here to Unity. So this is a blank Unity project that I created. And I'll show you, if you haven't yet, how to import a new Unity package from a custom location. So most people get it from the Asset Store, but here's how. So we're just going to paste that path in. And then I'm going to go import. And then we'll give you a quick tour, Stacey, of what's inside that package. So what we're going to download is going to be the SDK itself, as well as some samples. You can actually ignore this error, so I can just clear that. It'll go away. It's actually specific to one of the Unity releases. It just happens. In fact, if you download other plugins, you might hit that as well. So if we expand what's here, we have example scenes. And this shows you how to do a lot of what you can do on Mixer, from buttons to joysticks to groups, which we'll talk about at the end.
And real quick, what is a scene for those in the audience who are not familiar with what a scene is?
Ah, great question, Molly. a scene is a collection of controls that you show to your viewer. So, for instance, maybe the people in the audience are going to get to control one of my characters, and so I'll show them a scene that has a joystick in it.
Cool.
So that's what a scene is.
Nice.
And you can have more than one scene, so you can switch between them. So maybe they enter the broadcaster enters a room. And then they go into a different place in the game, and then you start to show a different set of controls. So you can do that. You can show different controls per person as well.
And that's where the groups kind of come into play, right?
Exactly. So what we're going to do is I'm going to go ahead and create a test. We'll just use this untitled scene right here. So I'm going to put in my favorite character, which is the Cube, Cubey McCubeface. So make him a little bit bigger. Great. And then why don't I add, I'll save this, Unity scene. And then I'm going to add a C-sharp script.
I know. So Gersh is using my keyboard, or my computer, which has a keyboard that you have to get used to.
Yeah, this is great.
I think everyone...
Backspace. Backspace.
We are professional software engineers. We know how computers work, guys. We got it.
Code once or twice before in high school once. So
don't worry. Anyone who's watched me coding on stream has come very used to.
Great. So now that we've got that created, I'm gonna. And this is just standard. I'm gonna go ahead and edit this script. Okay, so we open up Visual Studio. And while Visual Studio is loading, one of the things I want to point out is this mixer menu that you have at the top. This is important. 1 second while Visual Studio loads up. All right, so what we're going to do is I wanted to go back to Unity real quick. So I want to show you guys the mixer menu at the top. It has a link to Interactive Studio, which is where you can configure your scenes. This is where, like Molly mentioned before, you have your controls, your groups.
Yep.
You can configure everything related to Mixer here. The second one, and this is very useful, is our documentation. We tried to include as much in the examples and in the README. By the way, always read a README for a Unity package.
Yeah, I know. So when I got stuck, it was all solved in the README, and I completely skipped it. And my husband's like, you should read the README. I said, who reads a README? I read one, and I'm good after that. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
They're all the same.
So I encourage you to read. It's not too long. I encourage you to just scan through the README if you can. And then we have the mixer editor. And then real quick before I open that, please do, if you find issues, go to the file bug link and send us an issue. Thanks, Stacey. You logged a couple that we fixed, and that was fantastic.
Yeah.
And then feedback. And we love to hear feedback, right?
Yes, we love feedback. Mm-hmm. Feedback is how we figure out what we gotta make better for you guys.
Mm-hmm. And also open-ended, too, if you want to just send us some feedback around not just bugs or things that could be better, but cool ideas of if only I had this feature, I could do this really exciting game idea.
Yeah, I've done a few of those as well.
That's right, you have, and we've actually put those on the backlog. So.
Awesome.
So thanks so much for that. So I'm going to open up the Mixer Editor, and the Mixer Editor is going to be kind of your best friend as you do this development. So what we're going to do is we're going to go over to Interactive Studio, and I'm going to create a new project.
And real quick, so the two ways you can get to this screen. So one's in the browser. If you pull up kind of your main screen,
If you click on your,
that's right there.
If you go ahead and click on the icon, if you go to... back to Mixer. If you're just in Mixer and you're just, you know, watching streams or whatever, you can get to the studio by clicking on the icon that is your little icon, and you can just click Studio, and that'll take you to the same page. Or if you go to, Unity, Mixer, and you click on Interactive Studio, both of those will get you to this page.
Yep.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Molly.
You're welcome.
Not in the README, for the record.
Okay, well, there's a bug right there.
It is in the documentation, though.
What do you want me to read?
Too much novel. Too much words. So we're going to go ahead and create a new project. I don't know, how about test? So we'll save that. And so what we have here is we have some information first that you can fill out about your project. We're going to go over into this build tab, and that's where you're going to be spending most of your time. So I can create new scenes if I want. Right now, I'm just going to do a default one, and I'll add a couple controls. So we'll call this one move, and I can make it a button, or I can make it a joystick. So I'm going to make this one a joystick.
So what's the primary difference between a button and a joystick?
So a button is something where your audience is going to see something that they can click. They can get mouse up and mouse down events. Mm-hmm. So for instance, maybe drop a power up would be a great example of a button. And then a joystick will actually render an on-screen joystick so that you can control and do directional. It's great for movement, aiming, things like that. So we're going to go add one of these. And you know what? Why don't we go put in a button as well? So we'll call this one grow. So I'm going to add that.
And real joystick.
Oh, thanks, Molly.
You're welcome.
So what we're going to do is add a real button this time called grow. One of the things that I wanted to call out is you see how I'm dragging it to my scene. Mm-hmm. And then I can resize it so I can make it a little bit bigger. And then I've got actually different views. So I've got a kind of a mid-size view, a smaller view. And you want to make sure actually that you add your controls to each one of the views if you want them to show up.
And these different views are really good for, broadly, it's sort of TV, computer, and mobile, but it is also just appropriate for just resizing windows, et cetera. So it's really helpful to be able to have all three of those different sizes sort of laid out neatly depending on the size of the screen that your audience is going to be using.
Mm-hmm. Ends up being quite helpful for testing, too. I know I had a very small version of the window because all I cared about was just the buttons, and so being able to kind of get into a smaller view and a side of my screen as I did, you know, development for it was nice.
Oh, nice. Like snapped or something?
Yeah,
cool.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So one of the things I want to call out is over here you have properties. So if you click this button, you can kind of get this sample rate. What we're going to do is for the button, we're going to change the text. This is what the user is going to see. So we're going to call this grow, so kind of the same thing. I can give it a cost. I'm just going to make that zero. I don't want people to pay for it.
For anyone that's not familiar, what are Sparks?
Great question. Molly, why don't you talk about Sparks?
Yeah, so Sparks are sort of Mixer's currency. You earn Sparks either by watching streams or by streaming. It is a way to be able to, sort of literally raise the value of interactions that you can have with your audience members. So you can assign as either a streamer with some tools that we have, or as a developer, you can assign Spark costs to certain actions. There you go. There's a cost. It's a currency.
Cool. So we're going to start with zero. So as I test this, I don't use my Sparks.
I wanted to explain one thing real quick that Gersh just sort of glossed over. If you click on the joystick again, the details of the joystick. So the sample rate is the sample rate for the movement of the joystick, and you can adjust that depending on how much data you kind of want to get down from the audience. And so joysticks have a sample rate. Buttons have text and cost. And
so
those are the properties.
What's the actual range? I understand that you kind of adjust it, but what does that really mean? So if for move, for example, what's a good sample rate that?
It depends. A lot of the time, you don't need super precise. Like you don't need a lot of fidelity. So okay. Between 10 and 50 samples a second is plenty.
Okay.
Just kind of play with it.
Okay.
Great. All right. So with that. Do the most important step, which is click the save button up here.
Yeah, that got me once too.
And then you see that we've saved it. So fantastic.
But in my defense, I think I was able to log an improvement to the SDK because
That's
I forgot
right.
to save. So.
That's right. Exactly. So it was very valuable in the end. The next thing we do now that we're done here for now is we're going to go to this code section, and you're going to want to copy and paste this code right here. So this is your version ID. And then if we go back to Unity, you see how it says version ID over here. So I'm going to paste that. And then I'm going to go back to get the second ID I need and the last ID. If you click this link, OAuth clients, we can use kind of anyone. Notice that we already have an OAuth client that we've created.
You know, and I actually want to touch on this because this was an area that I did get a little bit stuck on mm-hmm. when I was looking at the host when I was setting up the OAuth client. I actually wasn't entirely sure what I was supposed to put in the host, so I started kind of just making up stuff.
Good for you. Yeah, so it turns out, the way OAuth works is you you can honestly put in anything you want, molly.com, you know? You know, it's kind of just think of it as a string so that you can get an ID back, like is how it works. So, or at least for the purpose of games. So now that I've done that, I'm just going to go back here to Unity, and I'm going to enter that in right here, my OF client ID. I'm going to paste that in, and then, again, got to click the Save button. So we're going to do this, and it says the Unity game is now associated with my interactive project. So what it meant when it did that is that it actually put a file here inside of Streaming Assets that is a configuration file. So now I've done an association between what we saw on the website and my Unity game. So now we're good to go. So now what we're going to do in Cube is over in this Visual Studio script, if you remember we created, we're going to go do Mixer. Pardon my typing. Mixer Interactive dot go interactive. So this call to go interactive is what's going to connect with the Mixer service and allow interactivity to happen. So we're going to go ahead and do that. And then in our update loop, let's let the audience move the Cubie McCube face around.
Cubie McCube face.
So,
I feel like we should have prepared a sprite for his face.
we should. We'll do that in V2. So getting input from a joystick is pretty simple. You just have to use the same namespace. So Mixer Interactive is a Unity-specific wrapper over the Mixer SDK.
Okay.
That makes it easier to access things. So I can do things like get weather buttons up or get weather buttons down. Get the count of how many buttons got clicked, the current scene. I can do all sorts of things. In this case, I'm going to get a joystick X coordinate. And then what we want to do in here is we want to put in the string move because, real quick, let me just do this, greater than zero. Because what that parameter is it's the ID of the joystick. So if we come back here, you'll see this is the ID field. Mm-hmm. So long as they match, then you'll get input. So we'll do that, and then we'll say transform.position plus equal. And we'll make it move 0.2. So that's how fast it's going to move. With an F. Okay.
Because it's a flip.
Good old Unity. Yeah. So now let's see if I can do this a little faster with some copying and pasting. This is just filling out the... Well, you know what? We can just make it move in two directions. So there we go. Now if it's less than zero, then we're going to move in the opposite direction. So the last thing I want to add is I want to make use of our button. So it will look very similar to the way I did the joystick. And we'll say if Mixer Interactive dot get button, and we called our button grow. Is that what
yes.
we called it?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. So we'll say if get button grow, then we are going to modify the scale. Let's do 0.2. All right, so I'm going to save that and then hope that it compiles.
Said every dev ever.
Exactly, that's right.
Live demos are always a
They are somewhat challenging. Let me snap these two windows together so you can kind of see what's going on. So now I'm going to press, let me save this scene, and then press play in the editor. And nothing happens. The reason why nothing happens is because you got to do one thing.
Okay.
What you need to do is you need to go into this prefabs folder and you need to take this interactivity manager and drag it onto your scene. So the interactivity manager is something that controls the state.
You click the inspector.
That's right. So this interactivity manager controls the state of the connection to interactive. So you can do things like set a scene. Right now at UC, I just have a default scene, but if I had another scene with some maybe some weapons or some power-ups, I could switch people to that scene, or I can create some groups. And we'll kind of go into that later. And also, there's a checkbox that says run in the background. The reason that's checked by default is because Unity will actually pause your game when it loses focus. Mm-hmm. So when I click over on the website, like I'm going to do in a second, Unity will actually stop running, and so you'll wonder if your events aren't getting through. Then you'll go back to Unity, and then you'll get a lot of events. So you kind of want it to run in the background. But if for some reason you don't want that, you can uncheck that box. So now we're going to try this again. And it's a little bit squished right now, but if it were full screen, it would look a little. Actually, let me show you what it looks like a little bit here. So it looks like this, but I have it snapped right now just so we can see it. So it's asking me to go to mixer.com/go.
And why is it asking you to do this?
Great question. So what it's doing right now is it's establishing authentication through OAuth. From the client where I put in my client secret as well as my version ID, and then I'm going here to the website where I'm actually already logged in and then entering that code that I see on screen. And then now it's going to associate these two things together so that my channel can broadcast this game. So,
all
right. And it's not case sensitive, in case you're wondering. So here we go, we're going to click approve. And now it's linked up on my accounts, and then we're back here. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to go to your channel. So this is you?
Oh, that is me, yeah.
Oh, but...
It's me.
Oh, okay. Molly, what's your channel?
Prideful Wren.
Yeah, Pride. I have some spelling difficulty.
FULWREN.
Oh, you know what? That actually was pretty easy.
Yeah. It's literally just the words prideful
it's,
and Wren.
It's sort of how it sounds, yeah. Yeah, God, who would have thought? So let's make this a little bigger because I... Oh, hey, Molly, are you connected to this channel somewhere else?
I am. I'm logged in somewhere else. Let me go ahead and log out.
Oh, thanks so much.
That again.
Thanks so much for doing that. Let's retry that. Let's refresh the page here. Well, actually, this is fantastic because I get to show you a little bit of troubleshooting. What I want to do right now, all I'm doing is I'm trying to make this browser a little smaller so you can see it. So what we're going to do usually when this happens, I kind of just do a reconnect.
Okay.
And then it kind of will fix itself. So looks like that worked. If we go scroll down here, I'm going to try to show you how to see a little better. Oh, you know what? The reason this isn't working is because I made the mistake of not doing the small view, but I bet you if you make it smaller, actually, they show up again. So, so we just for now, we'll need to make it this big, but that's fine. We'll make it a little bit smaller for you guys so we can actually see what QB McCubeface is doing. Oh, I can remove the chat window?
Yeah.
You can remove it.
You can move it over, yeah.
Okay. Pop out of chat, or?
No.
Okay.
And that'll give you a little bit more wiggle room for...
Fantastic.
There we go.
Okay, there we go. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to see if this works. Okay, there you go. See guys? I'm moving QB... Oh, we only did left and right. That's right. So I've got this game where QB McCubeface can move left and right.
This is the kind of really engaging experiences you can create with your audience. Move a cube on screen. That's
exactly. Yeah. The sequel is coming soon to
you get
a store near you.
That's for right. For cube face too.
Yeah.
And there will be a circle.
Whoa! Exactly. We'll call him Circle McCircle Face. So then let's test that button out. And looks like I actually made it go smaller, not bigger. It doesn't grow; it actually shrinks. So that would be a bug in our code. Let's maybe go fix it. Oh, you know what? Times a smaller number. That would do it. So why don't we do that instead? Go back here and...
That's how you guys know it's real.
That's right. Yeah, even professionals can't do math well. So there we go, so it can grow. Unfortunately, I don't have a shrink button, so what's gonna happen is it's just gonna keep going and now he's gone.
Aww.
Actually grew fast.
You killed it.
It exploded. So there you go. So that's kind of a... how to get started with the Mixer SDK and Unity, and hopefully that wasn't too bad.
No, I mean, that was really easy. Pretty simple to get started. You did talk about a little bit about groups. I know there's this notion of participants. You want to talk a little bit about what each one of those things are?
Absolutely. So I'm really glad you mentioned that. So I'm going to first show, first I'm going to have Molly describe the concepts, and then I'll show in Unity how you work with those things.
Perfect.
Absolutely. So participants are what we call viewers who are participating with an interactive stream. So the terms we tend to use are broadcaster and participant, or broadcaster and viewer. And participant, like I said, is specifically when they're interacting with an interactive stream. And so because you can have many people in your audience, we support the idea of groups. And groups mean that you can segment your audience and say split the audience equally between red team and blue team, or helpers and harmers, or people who are going to control tanks versus turrets, or however you want to do it. If you want to pull out a specific participant, a specific viewer, because as the developer, you get events and know who is connected to this interactive stream, you know exactly who the audience members are. You can do interesting things by pulling out maybe somebody who has supported your the streamer's stream, or your friends or something like that. Or just randomly choose a person to, say, control a character using a joystick. And so because we have these different groups, you can display scenes to those specific groups. So that's how you do it. You have participants, you assign them to groups. Groups are assigned scenes. Each group has one scene, but many groups could be assigned the same scene if you want. And if you don't specify a group or a scene, those default to the default group and the default scene. So participants, when they join a stream, are automatically assigned to the default group, and a group, when it is created, is automatically assigned to the default scene unless you specify otherwise. So there
Great.
We go.
So that, yeah, that was a fantastic explanation. Yeah. Why don't I show you how easy it is to do?
Yeah.
So here, I'm going to use the samples in this case, just do a plug for some of the samples. So if you go into this viewer controls a character, and we're going to open up that scene. So this gives an example of how to write some code so that you can actually have input for a specific participant, not just everybody. Mm-hmm. And so the relevant pieces of code here is in this joystick example, where we're doing that same get joystick call. So we're getting the move joystick, and then we're getting the X value, and then we pass in the participant ID, and that says that I want it for this particular participant.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we really like about interactivity, is because we have that super precise data, the per participant data, we get to be able to do things like this. We also will have aggregations, so you can do across your whole audience, but I love being able to have the super pinpoint precision, knowing who is sending down what command. It's really nice.
Mm-hmm. And then check out the example. There's another one in here on how to do buttons. And then real quick, I want to show you our group sample. So if I open up the groups test scene, the formatting is a little bit off because we're small here, but if I go click on the interactivity manager in the inspector, I can specify groups here. So I could say Molly wanted a red group, so we could do red, and the scene's called red. We got blue and blue. And over in Studio, what I would need to do, let's make this a little bit bigger. Is I would have to add these new scenes. So I'd have to add one called red, and then I'd have to add one called blue.
Is it case sensitive?
Yes.
It is. Yeah, it is case sensitive. Great question.
Did not run into that one.
Okay, good. So it's now that I've added it, and I would add some controls in here, but we won't do that today. And then actually the group assignment is done at runtime, so that's why you do it in the Unity editor, because that's, again, like I mentioned, if you want to change based on the scene you're in or the gameplay mode, and you kind of want to change the scene that the audience gets, mm-hmm. you can do that at runtime. And so you can actually create these groups programmatically as well. This UI is just an easier way to input groups, and then the plugin will take care of it for you. Because we haven't actually created these for real, nothing's going to happen. But once you click play, I'll show you the groups sample. It's pretty simple. So a bunch of boilerplate up here to just get things going. But then what we're doing is once you have our participant object, And you can actually get the participants this way off of this participant state changed event. We'll send you whenever a participant enters or joins. Mm-hmm. And so that's great for groups. You can also get it statically off of Mixer Interactive, mixerinteractive.participants. We'll give you a list of all the participants. So two ways to go get the same data. And the participant has a group property, and you just assign that group to the interactive group object in question. And then now they've switched. And you can get those interactive groups off of the groups collection on off the Mixer Interactive object. So you can just kind of loop through those. So that's kind of it. You know, at a high level for the plugin.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was very easy to get set up. It looks pretty seamless. I think you guys covered kind of everything that I could think of, especially as I walked through it. So. I'm going to do a plug for you guys and just say I highly recommend getting out there and playing around with it. I've had a blast. I literally spent a good chunk of my vacation, which I swore off computers during, working on a game myself for it. So it is a lot of fun. That being said, thanks, guys, for watching. And I will see you next time. And thank you, too, for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.